C3 Bali in Indonesia and spent 2 years there, absolutely loving it. Came back to Hepburn Heights, and then Pastor John asked if I would go to Europe and help start C3 Paris. So I was there for a year and absolutely loving it, launching C3 Paris from C3 Lausanne. It sounds very exotic, and it was absolutely beautiful part of the world to live in. But unfortunately, after a year of being there, I developed cancer and had to come home. So I went through all my cancer treatment, the journey through that, and God was gracious and good. And here I am, over 10 years later, now healthy and loving life and still serving at Hepburn Heights. So I kind of stepped aside a little bit when Jace came on staff, because I felt like he didn't need his mother looking over his shoulder. And so I stepped off for a bit, and then Jace came and said, "Mum, I need you back on staff." And so I kind of thought about it, to be honest. I was like, I was actually really enjoying. I was working for Anglicare and loving that role and loving being out in the community. And I know what pastoring's like. So I was like, do I really want to buy back into this? So I did think about it for a little while till God spoke to me, as he often does and has many times over the years, and said, "Cherry, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the people that are on the other side of your yes." And how often is that with all of us? That sometimes we make decisions based on what's good for us, and that's not a bad thing. We don't make decisions that are going to be bad for us, but sometimes they're not decisions that sit comfortably, and it's not easy. And that leads me to the word that I had last week when I said that this is a transition time for C3 Wellard. And that really spoke to me as I walked down the driveway last week and saw the huge sign that says transition right in front of you. And that this is a transition time. And the other word that he'd given me a few days before that was that to strengthen the stakes. That it was not a time to pull up stakes, but it was a time to strengthen stakes. So I feel today that we're just going to have a bit of a family chat, more so than a full-on preach, but a family chat as to what that means of strengthening our stakes. What does it mean to do that? How do we do that? And the scripture, obviously, that is so well known that this comes from is Isaiah 54, verse 2. Where it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, don't hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." And that was the word that the Lord had impressed, strengthen your stakes. And the Lord had impressed on me that C3 Wellard has put a stake into this community. It's put a stake down by buying this property for a start, by establishing a church in this community. And who knows that we are the church. This building is just a building, but we make up the church. So whether we were in this building or another building, we would still have a stake in this community, because that's where God has placed you as a body and as individuals. You have actually put your stakes down into helping build the church in this area. So I, as I said, encourage you that now is the time to strengthen those stakes, not pull them up. And today I just want to enlarge on that. The word stake has many meanings. Now, some of you blokes are probably thinking of the steak you eat, which is, have I got some steak lovers here this morning? Yeah, okay, well, there we go. But that's not the steak. You'll have to hold that thought. That's not the steak I'm talking about. The type of steak I'm talking about is this sort of steak. That's one sort of steak. That's a tent peg that can go in, which some versions call the steak a tent peg. And that's the sort of thing that I'm talking about. I think, there you go, there's another type of steak, which is a fence post. And you can see that there's many, many different types of steaks. But first of all, if we've given our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are stakeholders in the kingdom of God. We are already stakeholders. So we have put our stakes down as Christians into the foundation of Jesus Christ, and we are part of God's kingdom worldwide, the body of Christ. The greatest kingdom of all, the greatest, the most solid kingdom that you could ever put your stakes into. And God has designated territory for each one of us to claim as our own. You know, in the gold rush, the people that went out there to find gold, they staked their claim. They marked their territory, and that was a designated territory that they said belonged to them. The early settlers did the same. They put stakes on areas to designate the boundary lines of what belonged to them. We put stakes in the ground, obviously, if we want them to stay. And we want our stakes to be strong, because whatever it is they're supporting, if it's a fence post, if it's a tent, we want those stakes to be strong, to be secure, so that they will hold up with any amount of pressure or storm that is put on them. And so I was thinking of this verse and meditating on it, and I remembered a story I read a long time ago about a young British preacher, William Carey. And he preached from this verse, obviously, way, way back in 1792. But this verse, Isaiah 54, was actually the verse that gave him his life mission. And if you've never heard of William Carey, he put a stake into the ground in India and decreed that India was going to be opened to the gospel, and that's exactly how God used him. God used him to open up India. But first of all, he left his home and he put stakes down in an unknown territory, because that's where God had sent him, and he preached this verse. But he titled his message, and this is what I love, "Expect Great Things from God, Attempt Great Things for God." So obviously some of you have heard that saying before. That was the title of his message from Isaiah 54 verse 2. And as I thought about it, I thought that should be our modus operandi for all stakeholders. As stakeholders in the kingdom of God, that's what we're about. We're about expecting great things from God and attempting great things for him. He had, we are people who have high expectations of what God wants. But we, as stakeholders, need to be prepared to do whatever it takes to see that mission accomplished and his plans come to pass. So this morning, how are your stakes? Are your stakes a little bit wobbly in the ground? I did think about bringing a bucket with soil and really doing a demonstration. If I was my son, that's what I would have done. To me, it was a little bit difficult and hard and messy, and I'm like, it'll probably tip over in the ground, in the car rather, and I have dirt all over my car. So I didn't. But I just want to know, how are your stakes this morning? Are your stakes firmly in the ground? You can see I'm not good at juggling. Are they firmly in the ground? Maybe they're just a little bit in the ground, so they wobble really easily. are they firmly stuck in the ground so that no matter what's pulling on this, they're not going to move, they're not going to budge? What are our stakes like? Maybe we're a bit wobbly because of any number of things. Maybe some things in our lives have disappointed us. Maybe our expectations haven't been met. Maybe someone was given a position that you felt you were better qualified for. Maybe you've been hurt or offended by someone and you've decided that you can't forgive and forget. Maybe because Barry and Michelle, the Lord has spoken to them about moving on to follow what God is calling them to do, and maybe that's caused a bit of shakiness within you this morning, and you're wondering, is it time to pull up stake? Or it could be just that the negative emotions, the challenges of life, so many things that can overwhelm us can cause us to get a little bit shaky and decide, is it time to give up? Is it time to run away and just take it easy? This is all getting a bit too hard. Well, if we go back to the Word of God, the key words of our scripture were enlarge, stretch, don't hold back, lengthen and strengthen. All these words involve action. All these words are doing words. All these words are something that we need to be doing. The Passion Translation, and they've just brought that out for the book of Isaiah, so I think I was about first in to get it because I love the Passion Translation. And he's just written Isaiah in it. And he starts off by saying, increase is coming. So enlarge your tent. See, so many sermons have been preached on this, but I believe the word to Wellard of strengthen your stakes is because of the first part of that verse in the Passion Translation. Increase is coming. As I read that, I believe that is the word of the Lord to this congregation. Increase is coming. So if increase is coming, then it's going to depend on each of you as to how these stakes are anchored into the ground. See, stronger stakes are needed when expansion comes. So in the natural, when expansion is coming or expansion happens, then we need a stronger stake. Because if we've got a huge tent, these tiny little things are going to do nothing. They're going to pull up and pull out, and then the whole thing will collapse. But God needs all of us to upgrade. And that's what I see some of you this morning making a decision to say, you know what, I've been a bit like this stake. I haven't really put my stakes into the ground, and I haven't had a firm, there hasn't been a firmness in my commitment. But today I'm deciding that I'm going to upgrade to this size one. And I'm going to allow Holy Spirit to do a work of expansion in my heart and my life so that the stake that goes into the ground is solid. So that when increase comes, this stake is firm. I'm committed. I'm in there. And I am going to go with what God is saying to us. See, Isaiah didn't say God would enlarge us. He was instructing us to be the ones enlarge. We're the ones that do it. We're the ones that make a choice and a decision. As it expect great things from God. We've got to expect great things from God. If we haven't got that sort of expectation, you're just going to go around from day to day just in cruise mode. But when we've got that expectation, we're expecting great things from God. I'm believing increase is coming. My stake is in the ground here. I'm committed because this is where I feel God has planted me and positioned me. So if expansion is on the horizon, it means we're outgrowing where we're at. It means we need to be committed to doing whatever is needed That is what is strengthening our stakes. Whatever our hand finds to do, we do it with all our might, with all our strength, as unto the Lord. So to take new ground, new territory, is going to require stronger stakes, heavier stakes, ones that are actually planted deep in. And the results of that sort of enlargement is going to be a greater capacity to fulfill the call of God on your life, a greater empowering by Holy Spirit, a greater increase of unity one with the other, a greater sense of purpose, a greater clarity of the vision, the big picture, and a greater awareness of the freedom, victory, and our authority over our enemy. Because that is the thing that we have. We have an enemy who wants to thwart and stop expansion, who wants to stop the increase. And who knows that when any increase is coming, you need people to help carry and support. We need lots of these in the ground to cater for expansion, to cater for increase. Not just one or two, but many. And that's where all of us come into it. It is not time for us to hold back. That's what it says. Do not hold back is the instruction. We are required to stretch. But you know, because that's the cost. There is always a cost with enlargement. Why do we expect to have things easy? Why do we expect that it's not going to be terrifically hard work or anything? Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. If we have a picture of increase, and we can see, we sang lots of songs about joy this morning, and I hope you can feel some of that within you, that the joy that was before Jesus caused him to endure the pain of the cross for you and I. So why do we think that we need it easy, that it'd be good for us if it's just all cruise mode, Lord? Just let us on a cruisy ship. It's never going to happen. If we're going to see increase, we got to be front-footed. If we're going to see increase, we have to be listening to what Holy Spirit is saying and obeying what he's saying to us to do. And that requires a stretch. You know, stretching involves getting past our current limits. Paul said, I press on. I don't stay static. I press on towards the goal. There is always, if we have a goal in mind, and that is to see Wellard come to know Jesus Christ, the community in Wellard to know our Saviour. If we have that sort of desire and goal in mind, then we're going to stretch with that. Stretching, we all know that if you decide to go for a run or do exercise, that stretching loosens us up in order to achieve the goal of whatever it is, running that marathon or, I don't know, I'm not a marathon runner or any of those, but I don't even like the gym. But I do like walking and I do like riding my bike. Those are the two things I like. And sometimes I've jumped on the bike and gone off for a ride and then I start to get a cramp in the back of my muscle and back of my leg. And I think I forgot to stretch out my muscle before I jumped on the bike. And so stretching involves us limbering up, and I believe that's the season you're in as well, that there is a stretching going on within personal lives, within this church corporately, that's going to require you to stretch with it, to stretch in order that the goal would be accomplished, so that you are limbered up, so that you are ready to achieve that goal of increase. And it also means letting go of current limitations. You know, so often it's us that limits God. And we don't look, Pastor Jace has been preaching on Ephesians for it seems like forever. But so much in Ephesians. But one of the things that has come out of that is how it says God is able. And if we have that picture, God is able to do exceeding abundantly. We all know that scripture. But if you just take those first three words, God is able. That is the God. He is the God we serve, an able God, a God who's able to do above and beyond anything we could imagine, think of, or dream of. That is the God that we worship. That is the God we serve. And if we really believe that He is that God, that He is able, then we believe that He can do what He intends to do in C3 Wellard, and we will see increase. So not time to hold back. Remember the 12 spies who went into the promised land. The 12 spies, man, they went in, and that territory God had already staked out. He had already said, that land is mine and it can be yours. And I don't want to miss out on my promised land. I want everything that God has already designated for me. Is that your heart this morning? Are you wanting what God has designated, the territory that He's placed you in? I don't know, some of you will be at school, at work, your workplace, at unis, at home, in the neighborhood, with your school children, at school, meeting school mums. Wherever it is that God has placed you, claim that as your territory. Claim this location as territory and decide, boy, my stake is firmly in Jesus Christ and in His church and in the location that He has placed me. And I'm not going to let fear of the giants, fear of the enemy, stop that from happening. I remember when Pastor John first asked me if I would go to help start C3 Paris. I remember walking out of his office and into the ladies' toilets and nearly dry reaching. I was like, God, how can you ask me to do that? I am a single woman pastor. I do not speak French very well at all. I am now going to be 24 hours away from my support base and my family. Lord, how can you require that of me? Surely there's a couple that can go. Surely there's somebody else that can go and complete this assignment. And fear just totally overwhelmed me. And that's what happened to those 10 spies. But unlike those 10 spies, I was a pastor's kid. My dad brought me up, I think, with that faith grunt that goes, hang on a sec, where's this fear coming from? And I said to the Lord, how on earth am I going to do this? And He just said, and I saw this mountain, actually, in my mind, I just saw this huge mountain. And that's what the 10 spies were like. How the heck are we going to take this land? There's monstrous giants in there. And I was like that. There's monstrous complexities to this. How am I going to do it? And God just quietly, Holy Spirit voice, spoke to my heart and said, one step at a time with me. And that's exactly what we do. Joshua and Caleb, they came out and said, we can do this. We can do it. Why? Because they were big and strong and powerful, and they thought the two of them could rout the whole land of the giants and overthrow the enemy. No, because they knew their God. They knew their God, and they said, our God is able. So with God on our side, we can see the victory. We can see those giants dead. We can see the walls of those cities come down. And this morning, I really believe that that's the faith that God wants to instill in each one of us, is to stir up that faith gift within us, that we can see beyond the fear, that fear will not dictate our actions, fear of the unknown, fear of the uncertainty, fear of disappointment, fear of being let down, all these fears that can overwhelm us, fear of not being good enough, fear of just insecurity and rejection, fear of I haven't got what it takes. I'm not blah, blah, blah. I'm only got this. Well, you know what? Whatever you've got, give it to God. Whatever it is, If you've just got the small coin, the small amount, whatever it is, you give it. In the hand of a mighty God, it becomes powerful. God said to Moses, "What's in your hand?" "I've got a stick." "Well, throw it down and let's see how I'm going to release these children of Israel out of captivity." If you feel like you've only got a stick, you might feel like you've got a stick this long. You might feel like your stake is only this big and it's not very strong. Well, today, God's going to give you an upgrade and your stake is going to become this big if you choose. See, God doesn't just do it. I still had to go. God didn't just go to Europe and say, "Well, you stay home, I can do it without you." I still had to go. I still had to go. And you know what? Even though after a year I got taken out of there, I went back sometime later. And I was working out of the Lausanne Church, C3 Lausanne Church, and going down into Paris, and then just a few months before I actually came back, I'd moved into Paris. But I was there working with Lausanne as well, and when I went back, I went and walked into the Lausanne Church. It was about 180 when I was there, and it was a church of 1,000. And in Europe, that is a huge, huge church, even in Australia. But I'm not taking credit for that, but I was there because I was there at a transition time. And I was there to encourage that pastor who was taking over in Lausanne, Terry and Marianne Moore, it's pronounced. And they've taken over that church and they've grown it. But Terry said from the platform when I was there, when he welcomed me that Sunday, he said, "If it hadn't been for this woman's encouragement, I might not have made it and stuck through in there." See, God knew how long he needed me. Now, I needed to get over a bit of disappointment that I was knocked out of going there and I couldn't go back because of ongoing treatment that was needed. So I needed to work through that with God for a while after my treatment had all finished, because my focus was on heading back there. But God knows each and every one of you. He knows the end from the beginning. And what can seemingly look like it's working for bad, God always can turn for good if we work with him. And that is the God we serve. So this is the God that's in control of C3 Wellard. Do you agree? So this morning, are we going to allow God to enlarge our capacity this morning? But if we're going to do that, we need to decide that this is the size tent peg we're going to put in, that this stake is going to be right into the ground so that the enlarged capacity will not pull us over and out, will not finish us off and be too much pressure, but it will actually stand up against any sort of pressure. Well, actually, because it is firmly in the ground, it's going to stand when it's pulled to the right, to the left, when the storms come, when the challenges come. Is that the sort of stake we want this morning? That's better than a stake, isn't it? You both. He wants both. Okay. Fair enough. You can have your steak when you get home. Here today. You cooking one for him? No. Okay. There you go. You can't have your... Oh, you cook. Ah. I want one of those. Okay. Now the steak is in the ground. All right. This is us this morning saying, "Holy Spirit, we're making a commitment today. Our stake is going in the ground. We're not going to let fear overwhelm us. We're not going to let challenges, storms that comes against us, because we're going to see with eyes of faith that this is the land, this is the territory that you have given us." Is that right? Do I have an amen? Amen. Amen. I want you to say that with conviction, because that is important this morning, that we have a conviction and a settledness in our hearts that God, you have placed us here for a purpose, for a reason. And that's to see lives changed, lives made whole, lives come to know the love of Jesus, lives to be set free, lives to be healed, lives to be restored, people to come to know our beautiful Saviour. So we are stakeholders this morning with a purpose. We are stakeholders who have put our stakes down so firmly in the ground. They are not going to be moved. They are not going to be shaken, because that is the God we serve. You know, to finish off with, often we look and we think the grass is greener or the soil looks softer and it doesn't require so much hammering to get the stake into that soil. So maybe we'll just move over there. But today, and you know, I'm not saying that God doesn't move you on at times. Obviously, from my story, God has moved me to different places and times. And there is a time for that, and that is okay. But when we move without an unction from God, when we move ourselves and uproot ourselves and take off because of disappointment, not out of the right reasons, because of it just looks easier over there, when we do that, we step out of something, and we step out of, you know, God is amazing that even when we stuff up, He can redeem it and restore. And that is our incredible God. But you know what? I don't want to have to go through that junk. I would rather just keep stepping in line with what God's saying to me. I would rather just keep following the voice of Holy Spirit. Is that what we're wanting to do this morning? So I just believe that as we allow God to enlarge and stretch, to lengthen and strengthen our stakes, so that we as people, we lead the charge. We as stakeholders lead the charge. We inspire, we encourage, and together as an army of people, that C3 Wellard is going to continue to see God bring increase, do greater things in the community, and we're going to be like 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58 says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and unmovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Nothing we do for the Lord is ever useless. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it is possible for us to be strong and immovable as we put our stakes firmly into you. That Lord, as we make wise choices, that Father God, you're the God that brings the increase, that you're the God who sees that there is a harvest, that as we sow, so shall we reap. And so, Father, we thank you for C3 Wellard. We thank you for the stake that it has in this community. And God, we thank you for each and every person that calls this place home. And so today, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. And I ask you to cement your word into each heart and life today. That God, there would be a decision made that this is where I will stay. Even when the storms blow, even when the challenges come, that my strength comes from you, that my stake is firmly in the ground. And so, Holy Spirit, today, as you work, as you move in hearts and lives, Lord, we ask that even this week, as we ponder on this word, that it would be resounding in our hearts. How do I strengthen my stake? I strengthen my stake by surrendering my will, surrendering my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Lordship. We surrender afresh today. because we know that not only do you have an individual future that is great, that there is a corporate future for this church that will keep resounding through the years ahead, impacting lives and hearts in this community and building and advancing your kingdom. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the incredible privilege of being part of seeing harvest come, of being part of sowing into the harvest, of being doing our bit to advance your kingdom. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that each one of us today would take a stance of faith, would take a strong stance, would take a stance with eyes of faith to say, we can do this. We can do this together. Together, Lord, we know that you are able, and in and through your strength, we partner with you to complete the mission that you've put us here for. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our hearts. We surrender again all the doubts. We surrender any confusion. We surrender to you this morning. Any disappointments, we surrender to you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, you might be here this morning and you say, well, I've listened to all you've said, but I really don't know this Jesus that you're talking about who is able, this God who you said is able. And that if that's you this morning and you don't know, we're going to pray a prayer together. Because Jesus, nothing happens to us by chance. You're here this morning because Jesus put something on your heart, or your friend invited you, or you saw an advertisement. You're here not by accident, not by chance, but because this is where Jesus said, I want you to know me. I want you to find me as your truest friend. And so this morning, as we pray this prayer together, you pray it with conviction, if that's you today. Maybe you've walked away. Maybe you feel your stakes are really, really weak and you feel like it's time to recommit your life to Jesus Christ and strengthen those stakes. You pray that with me as well. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that today I realize that you love me and want to have a relationship with me. I believe that you are the Son of God who died on a cross for my sins and rose again from the dead, so that I could experience the gift of salvation and eternal life. I repent of all my sin and selfishness, of trying to control my own life and going my own way. I ask you to forgive and cleanse me so that I can follow you all the days of my life. Thank you that I can be secure in your unconditional love. And thank you for the peace and joy which comes as I surrender my life to you again, or for the first time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. While your eyes are closed, if there was anyone here that made that decision for the first time or for coming back to him, just renewing your relationship with him, love you to put up your hand so we can see, pray with you afterwards, minister to you in any way that we can. there's anyone here, just pop your hand up now. We'll see the hand while everyone's eyes are closed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your great love. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love. And Lord, I ask that every person here today would know that love that passes all and peace that passes all understanding in their hearts and lives, that Lord, no matter what comes, that there will be strong stakes put in the ground in this area, and we will continue to believe you to see your word fulfilled, to see that increase coming. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name, amen and amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you all. Look, I'm happy if anybody would like some personal prayer afterwards. I'm happy to pray with you. My friend Pauline is here. We'd be happy to pray with you on anything if you would like some personal prayer. But I think that's it, is it? We're going to sing one song, this fabulous worship team. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. You've heard all the announcements. Have a great week. God bless.